Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable and respected ulama, my honorable and respected elders and brothers in Islam, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who was known as Umar al-Thani, the second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar ibn Khattab. This Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was known as the second Umar ibn Khattab. For many reasons, the kind of justice that he had, the kind of mercy that he had, the kind of independence with which he ran the Islamic hukumat, and many other reasons. On the termination of the month of Ramadan and the days subsequent to the month of Ramadan, he would continue to give khutubat, deliver sermons, and also write letters to the various governors around the Islamic hukumat, giving directives to two very important aspects. The one important aspect is that now that the month of Ramadan has terminated, we are several days away from the month of Ramadan. One is to continue to seek forgiveness from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And the second is to seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qabuliyat, acceptance from Allah. On this, if we examine the life of our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find that on the termination of his salah, number one, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a young sahabi, by his own admission, at the time of Hajjatul Wada, in the last year of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, I was very close to becoming baligh, attaining puberty, but I was not there yet. So in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a very young sahabi. So he would be performing his salah in the back of the sufuf. And he would say that I would come to know that the salah has ended when I would hear Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba say Allahu Akbar. And secondly, in other narrations, as soon as he would complete his salam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make istighfar. He would say Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Something for us to appreciate and something for us to learn. What sin would anyone have committed in the performance of his salah? What wrong would anyone have done? More especially, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What wrong would he have done? How would he have disobeyed the commandments of Allah? When the general life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He was ma'soom, he was sinless, never committed a major or minor sin before Nubuwat and even after Nubuwat to a greater extent. So ulama have expressed that this was not an issue of a sin. This was in actual fact in appreciation of the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The might and the jalal of Allah ta'ala. The greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam demonstrated and displayed his humility over Allah. Whatever the salat was, and if we examine the salat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we know that at the time of the solar eclipse, for example, he stepped forth. And then after a while, he backpedaled. And when Sahaba inquired, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had shown me the fruits of Jannah. That was the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went forth that perhaps I would get hold of some of it and you would have enjoyed these fruits of Jannah. And I moved backwards because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also showed me the flames of the burning fire of Jahannam. So I moved a bit behind. So look at the jalal and the might of Allah. So hence, my salah is not worthy of the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That was the thinking of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this needs to be our attitude and our thinking. That whatever we have presented in the courts of Allah, Allah is too great, Allah is most pure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time is ghafoor, shakoor, haleem. Allah is most forgiving, most appreciative, most tolerant, and Allah would accept. So that is why he would say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Allahu Akbar, Allah, you are so great. Then how can I present this to you in your courts? So based on that, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz would continue days after the month of Ramadan in a pursuit to fulfill this sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that people continue making istighfar. As a matter of fact, our pious ancestors would go on for 6 months after the month of Ramadan seeking the dua from Allah of acceptance. And the balance of the year, they will ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spare them for another Ramadan. Friends, one is istighfar and tawbah, to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One sometimes becomes a verbal ritual to say astaghfirullah, which is a great act of ibadat. But together with that, there is a more profound demand upon us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we turn to Allah and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To illustrate it by way of an example, and probably some of us may take exception to the example, but the realities can never be shied away from. Ulama have expressed that when we are drowning in sin, and there is sin all around us, then it is like a person that has fallen into a septic tank. He has fallen into a pit that is filled with feces. And just as much as it is abhorred by us physically, emotionally, and even spiritually, we cannot escape the fact that when we are sinking in sin and we are drowning, we need that hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rescue us. And for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened this one very great door of tawbah and acceptance. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I'll just give you the gist of the hadith, that at nightfall and throughout the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking the question, where are those that have wronged during the day. Allah is making a ta'reez, an offer. Come, seek forgiveness and I will forgive you. And during the day, Allah is making the same offer to those that have sinned at night. Come, I will forgive you. In other words, continuously, Allah is calling upon us to seek forgiveness. So it will be a very demeaning thing, or probably an unintellectual thing for a person to remain in the feces and then to try to wash themselves and cleanse themselves. The first line of action would be to get out of it. When we have the hand of Allah, when we have the hand of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to rescue us, when we have Allah that is prepared to forgive us, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. Allah ta'ala draws towards him whomsoever Allah ta'ala so desires, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides that person that turns towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we come out of that sin. We try our best. And then, of course, we resolve, make a determined resolution, intention, that, oh Allah, I will not do this again. And there's regret and remorse in the heart. Then Allah Ta'ala will forgive. But probably there are other aspects in which we dwell that is sometimes more harmful to us than the sin in itself. One is the deception that is open to us at all times. Allah's system is such, لو يؤاخذ الله الناس بما كسبوا ما ترك على ظهرهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His system is such that when a person sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take that person to task immediately. And sometimes this becomes a deception for us. I am involved in whatever, whether it is riba or interest, whether it is zina and promiscuity, whatever the nature of the sin may be. So I feel that the ulama have said Allah Rabbul Izzat will take away the barakah, but I cannot see anything moving away from us. And the result is that that deception sometimes creates a situation of us persisting on the wrong. So I'm involved in zina, so nothing has gone wrong in my life. I'm involved in whatever it may be, and I don't see anything happening. وَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَقُولُ. Look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how Allah teaches us a lesson. The Yahud in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were very peculiar in their habits. On the one hand, when they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respond to the sneeze of a sahabi, of a Muslim, of a mu'min, he would say, Alhamdulillah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Yarhamukallah, Allah have mercy upon you. The Yahud, notwithstanding their enmity, their jealousy against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would become desirous of this dua of rahmah. That if the Nabi of Allah says, Yarhamukallah, Allah have mercy, my work is done. So somehow, I cannot understand how, but when they would have a sneeze, They would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's presence. And then they would sneeze in anticipation that he will say, Yarhamukallah. But look at our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May our lives be sacrificed for him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, Yaghfirullahu lana walakum. May Allah forgive us and may Allah forgive you. Yahdikumullah. May Allah grant you hidayat. So that dua of rahmah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't give them. On the other hand, they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had those precious moments in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which they squandered. And they would greet him, Assalamu alayk, wa na'udhu billah. May death be upon you. It was sometimes so evident that Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would respond, Wa alayka assalam, wa la'natullahi wa ghadabullahi alayk. And may the la'nat, death be upon you. May the curse and may the anger of Allah be upon you. Now look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha. You don't have to go through so much. She asked, Ya Rasulullah, did you not hear what they said? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my response was, Wa alayk, and the same be upon you. So they would invoke this curse upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of death. So Allah ta'ala depicts this picture, Wa idha ja'uka hayyuka bima lam yuhayyika bihi Allah, that when they would come to you, they would greet you with greetings which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not greet you with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greeted generally the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, Salamun ala al-mursaleen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would greet Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam with greetings of peace. Leave Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. Wa kul salamun alaykum kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi ar-rahmah. That O Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give my salams to your sahaba also. So they greet you otherwise, and then they say to themselves, Lawla yu'adhibun Allahu bima naqul. Why is Allah not punishing us for what we are doing, for what we are saying? You see that deception. Because there is no instantaneous, there is no immediate adab of Allah Ta'ala, what would they have thought? Allah Ta'ala will take away the power of speech. What would they have thought? What would Allah do? Hasbuhum Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala says for them, it has been deferred. The fire of Jahannam is sufficient for them, and it is an evil abode. So sometimes, this gets the better of you and I, that when we are engaged in some sin, and especially when there is a perpetuality of that sin, we are doing it all the time, and we see nothing happening, then we feel that we can take advantage over that situation. As a matter of fact, ulama have written in the tafsir of the name of Allah Ar-Rahman, Allah is most compassionate. Allah gives us respite not to give us rope. Allah gives us respite so that we can turn to Allah and ask Allah for tawbah. Every second that ticks away, Allah has given us another moment of life. Allah has given us another chance to turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hasan Basri rahimahumullah narrates an incident of a person from amongst the ummah of the nabis of the past. And Hasan Basri rahimahumullah said that this person came to the Nabi, and whatever his intention was, that I commit sins and I do not experience the adab of Allah. So that Nabi waits for wahi to come down from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response is, ask the servant of mine, that sweetness, that elation and that joy, that surur, that he enjoyed in the past while he would perform his salat, Is that still evident? Is it still existent or not? Because I have taken it away as a consequence of his sins. Friends, one is our concentration and dedication in salat, and wallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant us that in our salat. May Allah Ta'ala grant us a namaz, a salah of concentration, sincerity, dedication, one that is accepted by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That in the salat, in the namaz, our minds drift away. Out of our salat, in our salat, there is no peace, there is no contentment. Is this probably not because of the acts of disobedience of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? Is this not because we have swayed away from the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? So that is one aspect, that the deception is far greater than the sin in itself. Because we commit the sin, we do not feel the azab coming and Allah make us maaf. Sometimes we feel we're not worthy of the azab. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahumullah has quoted a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be brought into the courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be given his books of deeds to read. Like Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, iqra kitabak, kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Read your book, you read. You are sufficient to take an account of yourself. And in it, the wrongs and the sins and the slip-ups and the errors of an individual is written. And here is the man looking at it. And now he begins to turn to his left and he turns to his right. That what is my condition in front of all of mankind? We do the same in this world. When we're doing wrong, we want to see which insan is keeping a tab on me. And we forget Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. There, it's the courts of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is most ghafoor al-raheem, will say to him, my servant, I've made hijab. I've made this hijab. I have secluded you from the rest of mankind. In the world, in one narration in the world, I had concealed your faults, your errors, your sins, and now I have done the same. And I have forgiven you bi harfin, harf. Harf actually means one letter. And this person will ask, Ya Allah, what is that one harf? Allah will say, because you had hope in my mercy. And because of that, I have forgiven you. There's an incident of a person of the past who, in the middle part of his life, began to look back and he began to enumerate his sins, began to count his sins. And may Allah give us the tawfiq for us to sit down and introspect and look into our hearts and let it all come out and then petition Allah Ta'ala and seek from Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. So this person found 40 sins. And then, to make amends, he began to make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala. So for each one of those 40 sins, he asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness 100,000 times. He made tawbah for each sin 100,000 times. Brothers, we don't need to go even to that extent. There's one person that for each sin, he read, for his 36 sins, he read 1,000 rakats of salat. So 36,000 rakats. And in each rakat, he read a complete Quran. But Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. The important aspect is, let us not live by the deceptions. Let us not perpetuate and persist on our sins. Let us turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us ask, Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Allah is most forgiving. Hasan Basri used to say, continue engaging in seeking forgiveness from Allah, and you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be most forgiving. I conclude, brothers and friends, we have moments and opportunities whereby we are alone, probably in our motor vehicles, probably sometimes in our offices. Take those opportunities to turn this heart towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seek from Allah, seek from Allah. Remember, each time we're asking Allah, each time we're seeking from Allah, each time we're talking to Allah, we're petitioning Allah, we've made a contact with Allah. So, if we are professional people, between a client and another client, to make a small dua, Ya Allah, let me be beneficial to the client that comes in. Let me be of some use to him. You're asking Allah, you've connected with Allah. For us in the educational field, between a class and a class, oh Allah, make it such that I become a means of hidayat for the class that comes in. More importantly than the dua, there's a connection with Allah Ta'ala. And then try and amplify that, multiply it, and remain connected to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala accept all our ibadat, all our khairat, all our sadaqat, our tilawat of the Quran, our sawm, and all and everything that we have done. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala relieve the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the very many difficulties and trials that the ummah goes through. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.